Today, we're kicking off a brand new series, The Essentials of a Full Life. And I've been looking forward to this. I've been planning and praying about this for months, and was excited for what God's going to do in the month of November through this series. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." And so what we want to look at is the devil that is the thief in this verse, and Jesus is the great shepherd, and that he's saying that he came to give us life to the full, the exact opposite of what the devil wants to do in each one of our life. He wants to steal these things from our life. Jesus came to give us a full life. And so what we're going to do is, what is the essentials of this full life, the ingredients, if you will, of this full life that Jesus promises? When you think of an essential, you think of something that is a need rather than just a want. We all have a lot of wants, right, that are non-essential things in our lives. But a need is essential, like we need air physically. We need water physically. We need food physically. We need sleep. How many can relate to that? You got an extra hour last night, too. That was good. I didn't really take advantage of that. It still took me forever to fall asleep. But we need shelter. We need these basic necessities to live life. And so in order to live the full life that Jesus is promising us, the full life that he presents to us, we need to know what these essentials are. And over the course of today and this whole series, I want you to think about this in a kind of a twofold way. If today you are already anchored into Christ, you're a disciple of Jesus, you're a believer, and you know that you're with him, this message and all these messages are designed to equip you. That when you run into somebody, a family, friend, coworker, that maybe has questions about life and what is the meaning of life, and you see them going through things, I wanted to give you something that could equip you to be able to give a biblical, solid answer to people's questions. And today, maybe, you know what Novation's about. We want to reach people who don't know Jesus and people who are disconnected from God. And maybe today you're wondering about God. You're wondering about Jesus. This message and all these messages are for you too, to help you find the essentials that Jesus promised us when he said he came to give us full life. So the first essential we're going to talk about today is purpose. Purpose. You may have heard this quote from Mark Twain. He said, "The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you discover why you were born, the day you discover that purpose." I don't know Mark Twain's faith, but I do think he had a very biblical understanding of what life was about there. And in that video where the man on the street video, you had so many people. Do you notice how many people didn't have a clue about purpose? They didn't think about purpose. And they're just guessing, like, I don't know, have fun, or I don't know, make a living, blah, blah, blah. And you had all these answers that people didn't really have a connection to, and they're walking around purposeless. But sadly, the same is true for many Christians. Many people who say that they're disciples of Jesus, they don't understand purpose, or they don't feel like they understand what God's purpose is for their life. And I think sometimes it's semantics. We so often get our purpose confused with what we do for a living or what career choice we make or whatever. That's not your purpose. That is how you earn a living. That's what how God is expressing his purpose through your life. That's going to kind of unfold the rest of this message. But the question of why do I exist? What's the meaning to life? We've all wrestled with that. And this very question had so much to do with how I became a Christian, how I became a follower of Jesus, because I see Jesus answers this question so simply in a way that when you get it, you realize what you were made for. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you that God has told us why he created us and what our purpose is. We didn't create ourselves. We don't get to tell ourselves why we exist, right? We so often start out with the wrong questions. We do this to our children and our grandchildren. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do with your life? That's the wrong question to ask, because that's all about me. We didn't create ourselves. So the right question is, God, what do you want to do with my life? Does anybody know who invented the telephone? Alexander Graham Bell, right? So can you imagine when he invented the telephone and he brings it to somebody back in the day, this, you know, 100 years ago, and he brings the telephone and he says, look, I invented this thing that you can call somebody in, you know, that's not in your house. You can call them in another city. It's called a telephone. And you hold it up to here and you speak into this thing. You know, I'm picturing the old telephones. And you speak into it and your voice can travel and you can communicate with somebody that's not in your presence. And you go, oh, wow, that's cool. And you take it and you put your ash, you use it as an ashtray, or you put your hors d'oeuvres on it, or you use it as a serving plate. You think Alexander Bell would have been a little offended by that? Like, hey, dummy, that's not what this is for. Like, I know why I made the telephone and how it's to be used. Or you go out and you buy this big, expensive, flat-screen TV, and you hang your wet clothes on it to be just like a clothes hanger. Like, that's not what a TV is created for. So those are some lame illustrations about us trying to use our life in a way that without seeking the Creator and without knowing what He created us for, we'll have this gift and not use it for the right thing. And I was thinking about this. Life is so short. It is so short. We get one shot at this thing called life. One shot. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are. If you can get the revelation from that God is going to give us through the scriptures today, then it's a fresh start for everyone to use your life instead of at the end of our life. Like, my biggest fear is at the end of my life to say, man, I wasted it. I wasted my life. I wasted this gift called life. I don't want that to happen. And God doesn't want that to happen for anybody in this room. So here's what the Bible says about purpose. The Bible says that I exist, you exist to bring glory to God. That's why you were created, to bring glory to God. And I get it. Right now, this might be a very abstract concept. That what does that mean that I exist to bring glory to God? We're going to talk about this throughout the day, but not the whole day, but through the next few minutes that we got together. In Isaiah chapter 43, here's what God says. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So God created us to bring him glory. And that's in everything that we do. God created us that he would get praise, that he would be worshiped because of our life, by the way we live, by the way we have relationship with people, by the way we forgive, the way we love, that our lives would bring glory to God in our relationships, in our jobs. In Romans 3:23 is a very interesting scripture. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the essence of sin is a failure to bring glory to God. That when we sin, when we miss the mark of God, we're not bringing him glory and honor. How many were raised in a church where you went to catechism? How many have no idea what catechism means? You're honest. Okay, cool. I'm going to explain it to you. Catechism is a way throughout church history, more in the last, you know, few hundred years, where people would learn important doctrines of the Bible, or they would learn how to summarize the Bible. And there was you start with a question and you give the answer. So you ask yourself a question and you give the answer, and that's how you learn. I think it's actually a pretty cool way to learn. And there's an old catechism called the Westminster Confession that's a few hundred years old. And one of the questions in this catechism is this. What is the chief end of man? That's the question. Here's the answer. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. So what's your purpose, in other words? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. I remember teaching that to my oldest daughter when she was little. I said, and I would tell her, hey, quick, what's your purpose? And she'd go, to glorify God, enjoy him forever. It was very cute, and it's still cute today, because I'll ask her, and she has remembered that from the time she was, you know, very, very, very small. But what is it? We are to glorify God. So how do we glorify God? We enjoy him. We learn to enjoy God. We learn to build our lives around him and realize I was created to bring him glory. And so the most joy I'm going to get in life is the more I'm living for God's glory rather than my own. So I'm going to stop for a second and come to a stop sign here and ask this, somebody's asking this question, or you've talked to somebody who's asked this question. That's great, Scott. I was created to glorify God. That's what the Bible says. What if I don't believe in God or I don't believe in the Bible? You've probably had that. You give your Bible answer to somebody and they say, well, I'm not sure I believe in God or I'm not sure I believe in the Bible. Well, there was a very famous atheist. An atheist is someone who doesn't believe that there's a God. Very famous atheist named Bertrand Russell. And he admitted this. Check this out. He said, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. He's an atheist, doesn't believe in God, denies the existence of God, but he's honest enough, at least intellectually, to say that his life, since there is no God, really is meaningless. He's the byproduct of some cosmic accident. He is a blob of tissue that can reason, think, and love, somehow by accident. Because without God, we are left to guess what our purpose is for. Without God, we are left to just make it up, like those people in the video said over and over. Unless we understand God and his perspective as our creator, we're just guessing. We all know people, probably more even famous people, who think that or sought the meaning of life in fame and in fortune. How many people do we know who seek the meaning of life in making a living, making themselves famous, being successful, being very rich or whatever, and at the end of the day, they're empty? In the Bible, we're going to do a little case study here of somebody who pursued that in life. His name is Solomon. And in this case study, you see Solomon pursuing life outside of God, pursuing purpose, pursuing meaning outside of God. The interesting thing about Solomon is Solomon was King David's son. And he had a beginning of understanding of who God was. He actually started his life out centered on God. But as his kingdom grew, he began to start questioning, is life really just about God? And he got bored with this whole, I'm created to bring glory to God thing. Watch that in your life. Don't let that just be some abstract statement that I was created to bring glory to God and then just go about your business. That's what ended up happening to King Solomon. And so Solomon, a couple of things about him, as he kind of went away from God, drifted away from God, He thought a couple things. He said, life must be first about gaining wisdom. He thought, it must be about gaining wisdom. That we're told about Solomon that he is maybe the wisest man that ever lived, you know, even outside of Jesus. And so he gave himself to study. He gave himself to knowledge. He gave himself to science and all these things to just grow his mind and grow his intellect. And he ends up saying that, you know, I gave myself to wisdom, and as the more I knew, the more I figured out about science and knowledge, the more empty I became. When he didn't include God in his knowledge, he felt very empty and thought, oh, maybe this isn't the thing that I give myself to. You see a lot of very smart people, Einstein and a lot of the real great thinkers over the course of time, when they didn't know God, but they knew things about the universe, they knew things about science, and the more that they discovered, the more empty that they felt. The more empty they felt, like, wow, I have all this knowledge, but where did it come from? So again, he thought maybe life's about gaining wisdom. That was what purpose was about. But at the end of the day, he realized, man, I can have all this knowledge, but what's it pointing me to? And that's a lot of people in our life right now. They give themselves to a great education. That's what my life's purpose is, to get educated, more knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge. At the end of the day, there's still an emptiness. So then he said, you know what? I'll move on from wisdom to finding pleasure. Life must be about finding pleasure. And he goes on to talk about in Ecclesiastes, the book Ecclesiastes, the word means the teacher. And so Solomon is writing this book towards the end of his life and just kind of giving his personal testimony about drifting from God in all of this and figuring out what life was about. Solomon gave himself to hundreds of wives, hundreds of concubines. Kids, ask your parents about that when you get home. And then he gave himself to, you know, wine and food and just indulge, man, jumping in with both feet. And I'm going to live it up. And at the end of the day, he was empty again. It was like, well, it's not about wisdom. It's not about getting pleasure. So you know what? I'm going to give myself to achieving power. I'm going to give myself to achieving power. And he says, I built homes, I built parks, I built reservoirs, all these amazing things. I've been to Israel a couple times, and the last time I went, you can go in Megiddo, the Valley of Armageddon, and a guy did a dig based upon the word of God, and where he knew Solomon's like underground water supply would have been. I actually walked down the stairs of this Solomon's tunnels. And so he built all these amazing things that were just way ahead of his time when it came to all of that. He built a great kingdom. Again, he felt empty. And then he thought maybe it's about accumulating wealth. The American dream. He was the first to give himself to the American dream, maybe more than anybody. He was a man of great wealth. He was a businessman. He was an entrepreneur. And he said, you know what? I'm going to find out the meaning of life by that. And all four of those things left him empty, trying to find purpose in that. Here's a couple results in this case study of Solomon. First of all, busyness without purpose equals restlessness. When you're busy in life doing stuff, and you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, there's a restlessness that happens inside of our hearts. You know, he was busy gaining wisdom. He was busy trying to find pleasure, achieving power, accumulating wealth. At the end of the day, he was restless. That goes true for us too. Any human being that's trying to find that outside of God, it leaves a restlessness because we're never satisfied. And then achievement without purpose equals emptiness as well. You got restless and empty. And the people that maybe are in your lives right now that don't know God or not following Jesus, they're restless and empty. And God uses this message of purpose to bring people to Jesus. And then ultimately, human pursuits for purpose outside of God are endless, meaningless, and futile. He's basically saying, I'm going to work hard all my life and achieve all this stuff. To die and leave it to who? You think you're leaving it to your loved ones, but Uncle Sam gets a large chunk of that and somebody else and everybody wants a piece of the pie and you take nothing with you when you go. And he saw that and he said, man, that can't be the purpose of life, to just accumulate stuff. I think Ecclesiastes is such an amazing precursor to the gospel that if either yourself or somebody's wrestling with this, read this book because it will help you, like some of this come to the surface so that you can find Jesus and what he calls us to. So the guy who had it all, at the end of this book of Ecclesiastes, he started out with God, pursued a purpose outside of God, comes full circle and says this. After all this, there's only one thing to say. Have reverence for God and obey his commands, because this is all that we were created for, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Solomon came to that same conclusion. So your job, your relationships, they're all an opportunity to bring glory to God. Knowing your purpose gives meaning to life. Knowing your purpose simplifies your life. I think knowing your purpose focuses your life. And knowing your purpose motivates you. Those are important truths. There's a scripture I've been meditating on the last month. And, you know, I've been a pastor for a pretty long time now, 20 years or whatever, and you start realizing things that maybe in not just pastoring, but life, whatever job you do for a long time, whatever calling you have, it's easy to start going, why am I doing this again? Maybe you're there. Why am I doing this? What's the end result of this? And there's a scripture in Acts chapter 13, verse 36 that I've been meditating on. And it says that David served God's purpose in his generation. It actually goes on to say, David served God's purpose in his generation. He died and was buried. And what I've been thinking about this, don't think I'm morbid for this. This is keeping me focused. Serve God's purpose in your generation, die and be forgotten. Does that sound bad? That is That keeps you simple, focused, and focused on God, because it's not about me, it's not about you. God wants you and I to serve his purpose in our generation, not make money, not get ahead, not be successful, because that's the wrong perspective to have. So when we get this, and this isn't, you know, serving God's purpose in your generation isn't just for pastors or missionaries or whatever, it's for you in your daily grind and your daily life to know that God has purpose right where you're at and what you do for a living and your family and your neighborhood. That purpose is to bring him glory. So how do we serve God's purpose for our life? Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He said that nobody comes to the Father but through him. What an important statement that Jesus made in that. That purpose, your purpose in life begins with salvation. You have not even come close to the purpose of your life until you know Jesus. You have not come near your purpose of your life. You will waste all of your life until you find salvation in Jesus Christ. At the end, it'll mean zip. Whatever you do, whatever you make, all of that will end up, you know, to nothing. But Jesus tells us over and over how salvation is the beginning of finding our real purpose, to understand the gospel, to understand that he stepped out of time, out of eternity into time and space for us, to show us what life was about, to show us what our purpose was, and to die a brutal death so that we could have purpose and have eternal life. And that turns this life into living for now, into everything I do is living for eternity. That's a game changer for us. So God gave you life when he created you. Here's the first challenge for you. Give your life back to God by following Jesus. Give your life back to God by truly following Jesus. Young people in this room, students in this room, people who you haven't stepped out into a career yet, can I challenge every young person in this room to stay focused on this? Do not sway from, give Jesus your life today and walk with him all the days of your life and let him lead you. Let him show you what life is about. You won't have to go through some of the garbage that the rest of us went through. When we wanted to be our own boss, when we wanted to call our own shots, we wanted to make our own way. Man, the challenge for you young people is right now, just make a decision and stay following him. When you don't follow Jesus, you're going to end up in pain. You're going to end up empty. You're going to end up disappointed. That's just a fact. Because he promises so much more for us. The book of Colossians chapter 1 says that we were created by Jesus and for him. So we exist for him. We don't exist for ourselves. Let that burn in your heart. Here's what Jesus says about following him and giving your life back to God. He says this in Matthew 16. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Now, as we read this, don't just hear this as some negative thing, like Jesus is telling you what to do. He is offering life and life to the full. He says, if you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life, in other words, give it back to him for his sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your own soul? Man. Give back to him your life. Give your life back to him. Ask him, what does he want to do with my life? That's not just young people. This might be a revelation for all ages in here. I've been living for myself. I've been making up my own dreams, my own path. And I need to stop and say, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? My brother Mike, teary today, I don't know. But my brother Mike is 6 years older than me and had a very, very successful career and felt a tap on his shoulder from the Lord at 55, 56 years old. To just give himself to the mission field and the rest of his life. And he abandoned it all. gave stuff away. And I'm not saying God's saying that about everybody. Don't hear that. But he gets it. He said, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? Now, if he would have said, keep working at the job you're doing what you're doing, he would have done that. But he got that tap on the shoulder. He made himself available. Let's just make ourselves available to what it is that Jesus truly wants from us. He doesn't just want part of our life. He wants all of our life. He doesn't even leave that as an option. You know, we tend to compartmentalize our lives as, and I go to work, I do my job, I do this, oh, and I go to church, or I'll put Jesus as one of those compartments of my life. It doesn't work like that. He's either all or he's nothing. I mean, that's the way he set it up. Like, give me back your life and you'll find what life is really about. He gets to call the shots. He gets to be the boss. But guess what? He's the best. He knows exactly what each one of us need for our life and to live the full life that he promised. That's that benefit of purpose, joy, and eternity. All right. Second thing is this. Live your life learning to love God and getting to know him. You want to walk in purpose. Live your life learning to love God and getting to know him. On one occasion, Jesus was asked by the teachers of the law. One of the teachers of the law said, hey, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? There's 613 something commandments. And he said, of all these commands, which one's the most important? And Jesus says this, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, love God with everything that you have, every part of your being. Do you realize that you were created for worship? You were pre-wired by God. You ever move into a home that's pre-wired for sound system, this or that? You were pre-wired by God for worship. So that if you and I don't worship God, we're going to worship something or someone else. There's a whole lot of worship that happens on Sundays in America, right? It's called the NFL. And I'm down. I love football, and I love going to Bronco games. There's some serious worship going on for a lot of people at those games. That's their meaning in life. That's what they give their affection to. And I'm all for yelling and screaming for your team, but at the end of the day, they're going to let you down, especially this year, right? But you love God by giving him your affection every day, Lord, and gratitude. You love God by doing what he says to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Like, that should be, we do that out of love for him. Parents, is it not the best thing when you don't have to tell your kids and shame them and this and that to get them to do what you want them to do, and they just do it because they're doing it out of love for you and respect? That's good feeling. How much more the Almighty when his kids do that? Jesus said in John 17:3, he said, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Love God is it to live your life learning to love God and getting to know him. And God wants us to know him through Jesus. So it starts there, becoming his disciple. But you grow in your knowledge of God and your love for God as you read the word. You cannot let this be a Sunday morning from the pulpit thing. You have to feed yourself. The very first message we did in this room was learning to feed yourself. Corporate worship, corporate teaching is very, very biblical. It's important. We're following what the Bible says to do. But you personally have to give yourself to this. I was so moved this week when I heard about something going on in our church called the Scripture Sisters. I love the Scripture Sisters. Can I come? Like I don't know. I'm not a sister, so I'm probably not welcome. But you know what these ladies are doing? There's like 10 to 12 ladies meeting at Terry Opeka's house the first Wednesday of the month. And they're giving themselves to study the word and how to memorize the word. And there are ladies in this church that have memorized whole books of the Bible. Titus, Jude. Can you imagine that? I mean, how good is that for your soul and your brain to memorize a whole book of the Bible? Three chapters or so forth. That's awesome. So ladies, give yourself to the Scripture Sisters. Terry, wave your hand like this. You can come see her if you want more info about that. So that was not a That was a shameless plug, because we need to be in that. Give yourself to prayer. Like, the more talk to God. And the more you talk to God, the more you understand who he is. Life's experience is going to help you get to know God and love him and others. Third thing is this. If you're going to find your purpose in life, live to make life better for others. Live to make life better for others. We live in a pretty selfish world. We're trained from day one that it's all about us. We're trained to be selfish, and it comes very, very natural. Being unselfish and being a servant, if you figured that out, it doesn't come very easy. We don't like to be inconvenienced. We don't like to give of ourselves. In this question about what's the greatest commandment, Jesus said, love God with all you have. Then he responds and says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than these. So he took love God and love your neighbor and made one command to summarize all of the commands of the Old Testament. The first four of the Ten Commandments and the second six, it's just about loving God and loving your neighbor. So it's summarized with that. So we love God by loving people. Every time you serve somebody, every time you forgive somebody, every time you pray for somebody, you're making life better for them. And we need that. We need I need you and you. We need each other to help make life better. Life's stressful enough as it is. In this room, there are unseen burdens that people are carrying that you don't know what's even going on with the person next to you. People don't need our judgment. People don't need our bitterness. People need our love. And we need to make life better for each other. People need Jesus. They need hope. We need hope. We live in a hopeless world. We have the hope. So we do that in word, and we do that in deed. Now, we're not saved by our good works. Helping people and making life better does not bring salvation. Only trusting in what Jesus did for us brings salvation. But making life better for others sure is a byproduct of someone, a life that's been changed by that. And Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 25, he said, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, and needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? Then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Seth and Danielle Woodyard lead the outreach. They're the outreach directors of Novation Church, where we're trying to do outreach from a global thing with missions and missionaries locally. What are the needs? How can we make life better for people around us in our community? And then personally, learning how to personally share our faith and be a good neighbor. And they put together a video I want you to see real quick. They're going to stick around up here after service, and they're looking for leaders, people who want to help with this local part of outreach. You have ideas, you have passion. I mean, we can all be involved in that. And actually, I want to give you next week, David Clifton Ministries. They do an awesome ministry to homeless folks. So every year around Thanksgiving, they do this big, huge feeding of tons and tons of people, and they need all kinds of help to do all kinds of work. So here's your opportunity if you want to take notes. It's going to be meet down in front of the Denver City Hall. They're going to serve food on Saturday, the 11th, from 12 to 6. You can call or just show up and look for the volunteer table. So if, you know, that's an opportunity for you to step out in faith and say, you know what, I'm going to go help. I'm going to go be part of making life better for somebody else. Last point I want to make is this. If we're going to live out the purpose of God in our generation, then live like everything you have is on loan. Live like everything you have is on loan. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus gives the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents is where Jesus tells a story about one guy, a guy with great wealth gave one talent to somebody, five to another, and 10 to another, and he said, go multiply these talents. The guy with 10 multiplied his, the guy with five multiplied his, the guy with one buried it in the sand and didn't do anything with it. And the guy with the 10 and the 5, it wasn't about how much they did, it was what they did with, that they actually took it serious about what he had to say. When we talk about stewardship, Brian was talking about giving and being generous. It's not just about giving to the church, it's about giving of your life and realizing everything you have is God's in the first place. You want to talk about a game changer for how you see your stuff, your car, your possessions, your money? It's on loan from God. We're just stewards of it. And a steward is simply a manager of somebody else's stuff. So if you see everything like this, man, you're going to see life differently. You'll use it differently. You'll become a more, generous person. One day, all of us, every human being is going to stand before the judgment seat of God. That's what it says in Romans. Paul said that one day all of us are going to give an account for our lives. And there's two questions, basically, you can summarize what that's going to be like. That the first question that's going to be asked of every person is, what did you do with my son? What did you do with the finished work of Jesus that I gave him? Because I so love the world that whoever would believe in him won't perish but will have eternal life. That question is going to go to every person. What did you do with my son? The answer to this question is going to determine where you spend eternity, either with God or separated from him for all eternity. We can make that choice right now. God, I'm going to trust your son and believe that he died for me and that you love me and that you have purpose for my life, and I give my life back to you and want to follow Jesus. Second question is going to be this. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the time, talent, and treasure that I gave you? And the answer to this question is going to determine what we will do for eternity. Because the Bible doesn't shy about the fact that all of us that go to heaven, we're not going to fly around with harps and halos. Like, that is such a false theology of heaven. We are going to live in the new heavens and the new earth for eternity in a perfect place. And the Bible says over and over, what we do in this life affects what we're going to do in the life to come. I don't get it all. And don't ever think that just because you're not a pastor or a missionary, that somehow you're going to have to work the cornfield. That's not what it is. God sees everything that happens, and it's all significant to him. And he is looking at the faithfulness. That's what it's going to boil down to. In your life, were you faithful to do what I asked you to do? And he's going to reward us for that. We're going to move into communion. And would you stand with me? We're going to get ready for communion. If today you're not sure about Jesus, you're not sure about all of this, listen, the communion table is open to those who are trusting in Jesus as Savior, who, as we take the bread and as we take the juice, we're remembering the body of Jesus that was broken and the blood that was shed to give us life, to give us purpose, and to be transformed. And he'll do it. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to Jesus. The cross paid it all. All he asked for is you to be willing today to say, you know what? I'm no longer going to be the boss of my own life. I'm going to let you lead. I'm going to trust in what you did for me. I want to turn from selfishness. I want to turn from sin, and I want to walk in your ways. He'll do it. He promises.